This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to get a chance to visit with Aaron Martin. Aaron's had one of the most fascinating careers in healthcare and outside of healthcare. He serves as the Chief Digital Officer at Providence Healthcare and also as the General Partner of Providence Venture. And Providence Ventures has got an astonishing story of success. And we're excited to get a chance to visit with Aaron about what Providence has done, what Providence Ventures has done, and more. Aaron, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah, happy to. I've been at, first of all, thank you so much for kind of inviting me. This is a real pleasure and an honor, so thank you. So a little bit background about Providence. Providence is a health system based in Seattle, $25 billion, serving kind of 8 states. We're a mission-based health system, nonprofit. And I joined the organization over 6 years ago, going on 7. And I joined from Amazon. I was at Amazon for, a little bit over 9 years. And then prior to that, I was an entrepreneur, started 2 technology companies, one in banking and financial services software, and then the other one is manufacturing software. And then prior to that, I was in healthcare. I was doing consulting, actually studied healthcare in at business school, and also early in my career, I was involved in a roll-up of the home health industry. So kind of went from kind of healthcare into technology for about 15 years, and then kind of doing both now, I guess you could say.
Take a moment and talk about Providence Ventures and the commitment of Providence Healthcare to Providence Ventures and what you all do.
Yeah, so there's 3 parts of what my team is responsible for. So the first is we're responsible for marketing. So that's everything from brand and service line marketing, more traditional marketing to digital marketing. I also have a digital team that is composed of a digital strategy team, as well as a product and engineering team, which is very unusual for a health system. We have about 120 software engineers, mainly kind of hailing from Amazon and Microsoft, as you might expect, and product folks that actually build new technology. And then the third part of what my team does is we also run Providence Ventures. We've got a team of 8 folks, 3 partners, and then in addition to myself. The partners have anywhere from kind of 15 to 20 years of experience investing in the space. And how those things kind of work together is our digital strategy team works very closely with our clinical and operations folks to kind of identify what we call needle-moving opportunities in healthcare. We then kind of take it through a process of determining, do we already have the solution for the, for the problem that we're trying to solve in our existing tech portfolio? If so, great, we'll use that. If not, then we give it to Providence Ventures to go out and look for a new technology solution that may be out in the market and that we may eventually want to invest in. And so that's where of the 18 active portfolio companies that we've got, that's where 16 of them came from, which was this search for these best of breed companies that really kind of do a great job of, kind of going after whatever opportunity we've identified. So if we don't have it and we can't find it, then we actually hand it over to the product and engineering team and they actually will build a company. And so we've spun out 2 companies before. The first one was called Zelf. A few years back, they just recently received an investment from Cerner, doing exceptionally well. And then the second one is we sold a product to Wildflower Health, which was an existing company, and now we're investors and I'm on their board. And then we're actually working on a third spin out called DexCare. We just hired the CEO for that company and we're out raising money for it and are about to spin it out in kind of Q4. So that kind of gives you an overview of like what my team does and how all the different parts work together.
Thank you. And Providence Ventures is a part of and under the umbrella of Providence Healthcare. Talk for a moment about who else does what you do, because I'm not familiar with almost anybody of any of the large systems that have done this as successfully as Providence Ventures has. Give us a sense of who else is out there doing anything like this that's part of a large health system.
Yeah, there's, you know, I would highlight, you know, a couple. So Kaiser Ventures is been working in this space, you know, for a lot longer than we have, and so has Ascension Ventures. I think the big difference is how integrated we are into the health system. And, you know, to give you an idea, 18 of the 18 active portfolio companies that we've got all have commercial agreements with our health system. And so what we typically do is we start a commercial relationship, you know, again, making sure that this company can kind of solve the problem that we're trying to or go after the opportunity that we've identified as a needle mover. And then later we'll typically make an investment. And so that requires a lot of patience and discipline. But we think how it kind of has resulted in kind of the outcomes that we're seeing in the portfolio is it tends to de-risk these investments. And so what happens is, you know, the first way that it's de-risked is we know it's a big opportunity when we first go out and look for a company like that, because we've already kind of identified that with our clinical and operational leadership. The second way it de-risks it is obviously we become a big customer. We're a large health system, and so we can kind of, you know, support what are typically smaller companies, you know, kind of innovating in the area that we're interested in. And then the third way is we also trade notes, I would say on a weekly basis, two or three times a week with other health systems. And we're really kind of taking advantage of the fact that, you know, healthcare is still very regional. And so most of the 200 or so other health systems in the United States, we don't compete with. And so we're happy to kind of trade notes and understand how they've solved a problem. And then if we've solved a problem they're interested in, we're happy to kind of share how we've done that. And what naturally kind of comes up out of that conversation is how we've solved that problem. We can just show the data is, you know, a company that we've invested in, but, you know, more importantly, prior has kind of developed a great commercial relationship with, that is, you know, we can show them the data that this has actually been solved. And so that's the third way that we kind of de-risk these companies is, you know, they tend to get traction faster by working with us because we become demonstrated proof that they're solving a big problem.
And you've got this wonderful creative and entrepreneurial mind, but also worked in big, you know, big systems. You're working at a big system or with a big system and also at a big firm. Talk about sort of the transition from Amazon at one point to this at Providence and just some of the talent that's out there in the area that you reside in.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is there's some similarities and there's obviously some differences. And, you know, how I would kind of compare and contrast, you know, working at Amazon is, you know, Amazon and Providence are actually both very mission focused, just very different missions. So Amazon's focus is being the world's, you know, most customer centric company. So, you know, how do they always improve the customer experience, right? With respect to, you know, Providence, our focus is on serving everybody, especially the poor and vulnerable. And so we take that mission extremely serious. And if you kind of compare the two different cultures, there are, you know, people who are, you know, I would say equally as adamant and focused on those two very kind of different missions, right? And so I tend to kind of associate myself with very mission-driven organizations. I always have, whether it be my own startup or Amazon or Providence. And so I think those are kind of two interesting similarities between the two organizations. And then, you know, they both bring two very, very interesting kind of pieces that we're trying, you know, from a cultural standpoint, that we're trying to kind of merge together at Providence. Amazon brings the kind of culture of discipline and accountability. You know, they're very good at rhythm of the business in addition to innovation. And everybody kind of always talks about how innovative Amazon is, which is absolutely true. They are truly innovators. But the key thing that I think if you ask Jeff, you know, what's the secret that Amazon has is their ability to execute against those innovations exceptionally well and exceptionally quickly. And so that's kind of a big piece of what we're trying to, you know, that culture that we're trying to bring over into a major health system. And we've made progress over the past 6 years. It's been really, really kind of gratifying to see some of those techniques that we use to really kind of, you know, drive, you know, quick adoption of technology really take off within the health system. And then we've also seen it, you know, proven in spades during COVID, where the entire organization got very, very focused on the single objective of keeping patients and caregivers safe within the midst of a pandemic that really nobody understood the implications of. And so it was really kind of gratifying to see how fast our health system could kind of pivot and deliver new technology, deliver new services in the face of a crisis.
You had mentioned a moment ago Jeff Bezos in sort of a fascinating contrast to Rod Hochman. Rod is also incredibly mission focused. The distinction, I guess, from at least a somewhat outsider's perspective is that Rod is one of the warmest, most driven, intelligent, and warmest people you'll ever meet. And I mentioned warm twice because that's really how he is, and very articulate and very mission focused, whereas Jeff mm-hmm. comes across somewhat differently. But you've had an insider's view. Maybe you can give us 30 seconds there.
Yeah, I don't want to overstate how much exposure I had to Jeff. I was, you know, a guy working on one of his teams, and we would meet maybe once a quarter in meetings. So I don't know him very well. It's certainly not nearly as well as I know Rod. And so it would be hard for me to kind of compare and contrast the two. I don't know Jeff that well. But what I would say is to Jeff's credit, probably one of the most, if not the most effective CEO on the planet in terms of being able to kind of drive innovation and scale it within an organization. And I will tell you that I think what one of his gifts to not only Amazon, but probably to the broader, you know, business world or the leadership principles that he and his team authored over time. And it's really kind of the foundation of that culture. And so if you wanted to kind of study one thing that, you know, at the end of the day, I always talk about how, kind of people will write about, you know, the different kind of businesses that Amazon stood up and created, like AWS and Kindle, et cetera, that were truly innovative. I think at the end of the day, what you can kind of really kind of, you know, look past that is what did Jeff set up in terms of, an organization that could truly be very, very customer centric, very competitive, and could scale enormously well. And I think the two biggest things that while I was there that had the biggest impact were the leadership principles and the concept of really, really getting the culture to adopt the notion of a service-based architecture. And that sounds very technical and geeky, but what it really meant is that you could create businesses that were very self-contained, could innovate within themselves, but could also link in very effectively with other businesses. And so that allowed us to scale and innovate at a very rapid pace. And so that general kind of notion, Amazon was an early adopter of it. And as a matter of fact, there's a famous blog post by an ex-Amazon engineer that was, I don't know if this is true or not, but he apparently didn't realize he was posting it publicly once he had moved to Google. And he was talking about how far ahead Amazon was in this concept of a service-based, you know, business model. And what that meant was, you know, when you build technology, not only was it important for you to kind of create and make that great quality code, but you also had to build a set of APIs. And this is a key part, a set of service level agreements of which you will serve anybody using those APIs in terms of downtime, you know, documentation and those types of things. And what that meant was, is that think about it as like a big set of kind of Lego blocks that could interconnect in various different ways. And so when Amazon was building new technology, they rarely had to kind of rebuild things. They could just kind of use things that were already built for multiple different purposes. And then the other thing that it did is it also kind of leaked into, you know, kind of the offline world. So not only were, you know, the technology side of the business, you know, kind of adherent to the idea of an API and service and SLAs, the entire organization had to have SLAs. So you had internally kind of servicing, you know, parts of the organization like HR, who had SLAs with other parts of the organization. And what that did is that built trust, and it built the ability to kind of use, you know, again, scale very, very rapidly as an organization. So I would say, you know, kind of the two gifts that Jeff was probably personally accountable for many things at Amazon, but was personally responsible for that, I think have had the biggest long-term impact at Amazon as well as in the technology industry are the leadership principles and this notion of a service-based architecture.
Fascinating and fantastic. And talk about Rod's support of Providence Ventures and how you've tried to, you know, make Providence Ventures work so well. And you've had magnificent success. I know of almost no other health system that has done this as well as you and Dr. Hockman have and your team have done, as you've done at Providence Ventures. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to kind of explain it is to kind of tell you how I kind of came into the organization, which was, sitting at Amazon working on a project that we were launching within the Kindle organization. It was a project sponsored by Jeff, and super happy, you know, and I would typically get, you know, calls from headhunters and, you know, about a job at Google or, you know, Facebook or someplace like that. And I'd say, you know, as far as like large tech organizations, I think I'm working for the best one. I'm happy where I am. One day, one of my friends, who's also an executive recruiter, called me up and said, "Look, I've got two words for you. This is very unusual. Don't hang up. Nonprofit healthcare. Are you still there?" And it was such a kind of, I don't even think he knew that I had a healthcare background previously. It was such a weird, you know, thing. And he said, "You got to go talk to these two guys, Rod Hockman and Mike Butler, who run this place called Providence. You probably don't know them in the Seattle market as Providence. It's, you know, they're locally, they're affiliated with Swedish. You should go talk to them." And he said, "These two are probably some of the most kind of progressive, you know, forward-thinking, disruptive healthcare executives, you know, that this person had ever seen." And I honestly was just curious, and so because usually those words don't go in the same sentence. And so I went and I met with Rod and Mike, and they blew my hair back, because these are two guys that were thinking about you know, how technology and specifically digital would disrupt healthcare 6.5 years ago. This is well before Amazon really entered the market, well before, you know, Google entered it for a second time. You know, this was pretty early, and they saw this kind of, you know, over kind of two or three horizons. And they said, "Look, if we don't create a better consumer experience because of, you know, high deductible plans, you know, there's more out of pocket," you know, they listed all the reasons. Somebody's going to come in here and offer that. So we need to disrupt ourselves. And so in terms of kind of your question about support, you know, I took probably 4 or 5 months to take the job. And what I kept doing was, you know, kind of going over with them kind of six, you know, kind of the famous Amazon six pager of, like, you know, all the disruptive actions I would take if they were, you know, dumb enough to give me the job, just to test, like, you know, gut check, how serious are they about self-disruption? Because it is a big, big deal. And I didn't want to leave, you know, a great career at Amazon, you know, if they weren't committed. And I will tell you, from day one until, you know, today, they have been incredibly supportive of the team, of Providence Ventures, and those types of things. And one of the, and I'll, you know, I'll stop kind of bragging about Rod and Mike here for a second, but in a minute, but one of the kind of key points about this that I think is really important for other health systems to understand is, I was, you know, on a panel with Rod, you know, and we were being interviewed, and one of the questions that came up from the moderator said, you know, I was sitting you know, alongside Rod. And they asked Rod, who within the organization owns innovation? And without skipping a beat, Rod said, the CEO does. Because if the CEO doesn't really feel ownership over innovation, it's not even a fair fight. There is so much organizational, you know, momentum and inertia. You need a CEO to really feel ownership around innovation. And so I will tell you, he is kind of, you know, held to that word throughout the 6 years that I've been working with both him and Mike Butler, who is the president of operations, who is my boss and a key if you can't get things implemented in the field, you're doomed. So Mike has also been an incredibly staunch supporter of innovation within Providence as well.
Thank you. And one final question. What are you most proud of with respect to Providence Ventures? When you look at it today, what are you most proud of?
Yeah, so Providence Ventures is one of three parts, you know, three organizations I run and manage and lead. And so you've got Providence Ventures, which is a $300 million fund, you know, eight team members there, about 120 folks in kind of, you know, our digital team, and well over 100 folks in our marketing teams. And what I'll tell you that I'm the most proud of is, and I think, you know, as you get kind of more senior in your career, this will make a lot more sense to folks, which is, yes, we've done a lot of things in terms of, you know, invested in great companies. So for instance, you know, out of the 18 portfolio companies, now three of them are worth, you know, more than $1 billion, right? So we're very proud of the, you know, kind of the financial performance of the portfolio. We're also very proud of the technology that we've built and the adoption from users. You know, we're now hitting close to, you know, almost a million monthly active users, which is a big, big milestone for a health system. You know, when I started there, it was barely on the map. And that means that we have almost like a million patients per month engaging in our digital platforms. And then the third, you know, piece around marketing is the tremendous work that the team has done around building the Providence brand, building our capabilities to make patients aware of our services, those types of things. So those are all very important things. But to answer your question, the number one thing that I'm most proud of is the careers that I've helped to kind of mentor and develop within my team. I'm exceptionally blessed to have an incredible leadership team reporting to me. And it's just, you know, the kick I get out of it is just seeing how, A, how good they are, and B, the trajectory and the slope they are on in terms of getting even better every single day. So I always kind of try to kind of focus on what is the incremental change that you see in people and how they lead, how they kind of develop their skills, how can you coach them and mentor them to becoming a better leader. And one of the questions I always ask them is, you know, how can I, and this is one of the things that really learned at Providence is this notion of servant leadership. So how can I help them develop? Right. And so I think that's the thing I'm most proud of is the leadership team we've built here.
Aaron, it's a great pleasure to visit with you today. It's truly a privilege from my perspective. You and Providence have done a remarkable job here, and we're excited to keep watching you grow and keep serving your mission. Just magnificent. Thank you very much for joining the Becker Self-Care Podcast.
Well, thank you. This has been a pleasure.